You know, I've been here for 30 years, a little over 30 years now, because 30 years was on Wednesday, so 30 years and how many days? 4 days? I've been your pastor, and I've had the greatest 30 years a man could ever have by being the pastor here at Christ Community Church. There are times where I read the Apostle Paul, and what I hear him say is what I want to see happen in my life. He said this in Acts chapter 20, verse number 24 to the Ephesian elders. He says, I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. My whole life is built on fulfilling the ministry that God's called me to do. I believe that 30 years ago, God called me to be the pastor of this church. That's why I'm still here, because God has not rescinded that call. At the end of Paul's ministry, he would say these words in 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. He says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Paul had one desire, and that was to finish the course that God had called him in ministry. And when it was all said and done, as he sat in that Mamertine prison about to die, he recognized that he had fought that fight that was good. It was a noble fight. And now he was done. He had accomplished all that God had given to him. And the only thing left was a crown of righteousness that would be in store for him. And not just for him, but for all those who loved his appearing. In 1995, John MacArthur wrote a book called Pastoral Ministry. This church began in 1994. In that book, he quotes an anonymous author. An author that says something unique about what Paul says in Acts 20, verse number 24. And I've kept that quote in my Bible for 29 years. I've changed Bibles over the years, and so the quote moves from Bible to Bible to Bible over all those years. And sometimes it rips, and sometimes it tears, and sometimes it begins to fade, so I have to recopy the quote and put it again in my Bible. But it kind of helps you understand a little bit about me and how I operate from day to day. Because when I read it, I thought to myself, that's what needs to happen in my life. This is what this pastor said, who's anonymous. We don't know who said it, but this is how he said it. He says, stick with your work. Do not flinch because the lion roars. Do not stop to stone the devil's dogs. Do not fool away your time chasing the devil's rabbits. Do your work. Let liars lie. Let sectarians quarrel. Let critics malign. Let enemies accuse. Let the devil do his worst. But see to it, nothing hinders you from fulfilling with joy the work God has given you. He has not commanded you to be admired or esteemed. He has never bidden you defend your character. He has not set you at work to contradict falsehood about yourself, which Satan's or God's servants may start to peddle, or to track down every rumor that threatens your reputation. If you do these things, you will do nothing else. You will be at work for yourself and not for the Lord. Keep at your work. Let your aim be as steady as a star. You may be assaulted, wronged, insulted, slandered, wounded and rejected, misunderstood or assigned impure motives. You may be abused by foes, forsaken by friends, and despised and rejected of men. But see to it with steadfast determination, with unfaltering zeal, that you pursue the great purpose of your life and object of your being until at last you can say, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. That is my drive and purpose in life, to finish the work God has given me to do. And so I'm not going anywhere until the Lord calls me home. And that's when I know my work will be done. Until that time, I will continue to do what God's called me to do, and that's to preach his word to this assembly every Wednesday, every Sunday, until Jesus comes again. But I thought today, after 30 years of ministry, that I would spend this moment thanking each of you. I sat in my office a couple of weeks ago and thought to myself as I read Paul's letter to the Philippians when he said these words, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. In view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." Paul would write letters and constantly thank God for the people of the churches that he was involved with, whether pastoring them, whether planting them, somehow being involved with them. But he would thank them. As I was reading that, I began to think, okay, how would I thank Christ's Community Church for 30 years of ministry? And so it didn't take me long to write this sermon. It took me about 7 minutes. That's it. Because I didn't have to search for things to thank the Lord for. They came readily to mind. And so what I want to do this morning is just to thank you as a church for the last 30 years. Some of you have been here for 30 years. Others have been here for 30 days. Some of you have been here for 20 years. Some for 5 years. But I want to thank you from my heart for the opportunity God has given me to be your pastor for the last 30 years. And however many years he's going to give me from this day forward, I don't know how many that's going to be. My wife hopes it's going to be a long time, but I don't know how long it's going to be. But until then, I thought it would be wise for me to thank you. So I'm going to thank each and every one of you. Number one, I'm going to thank you for trusting in God's promises. I want to thank you for doing that, for trusting God's promises. In Matthew 16, God said that he would build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. God made a promise. He's going to build his church. When this church began 30 years ago, none of us knew what was going to happen next. We were in a park, sitting in beach chairs, hoping things would progress to the next week and to the next week, but none of us knew what was going to happen next. But we had to trust in the promises of God. We had to trust for God to provide for all of our needs. How would we ever afford to rent a facility? How would we ever afford to rent an office structure to have a place where we could meet in a central location for people who wanted to come for counseling or to make phone calls? How would all that come to be? We had to trust in the promises of God. We had to wait for God to show us and move us. And God did each and every step of the way. And for those of you who were here then and even now, we still trust God daily for all of our provisions, trusting God to supply all of our needs. And I want to thank you for trusting in the promises of God. You know, for those of you who had loved ones who have died, I think of Debbie McCorkle, who's lost a husband and a daughter while being here at Christ Community Church. Such tragedy. But Debbie's had to trust in the promises of God to provide for her, to care for her, to watch over her. I think of Cy Brunn and David Avila, Stacy Berry, they lost their wives. But yet they had to trust in the promises of God. I think of, she was Donna Waldron, she is now Donna Mason. But Donna came to the church without a husband, trusting the promises of God to provide for her husband. And he did by giving her Tom Mason. And they were the second couple married in our church. But they had to trust the Lord. I think of Peggy Kassler, who lost her husband, and Virginia Benson, who lost her husband. I think of Sandra Morrison when she lost her husband. They all had to learn to trust the Lord for daily provisions, to fill in the gaps where their husbands were always there, taking care of them, watching over them. But they had to trust the Lord. And when you have people like that who trust in the promises of God, it does a great health check for your church. It's great to see. And over the years, we've had to see how people in their families or individually would have to trust the Lord through difficult circumstances or trying circumstances. And so I want to thank you as a church for trusting in the promises of God. The psalmist said these words in Psalm 33, verse number 16. The king is not saved by a mighty army. A warrior is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a false hope for victory, nor does it deliver anyone by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope for his loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart rejoices in him because we trust in his holy name. Trusting in God and trusting in his promises. Psalmist would go on to say in Psalm 62, verse number 8, trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. And he is. God is our protector, our shield, our refuge. And throughout our time together, at different stages in your spiritual pilgrimage, you have evidenced the fact that you want to trust in the promises of God. So I want to thank you for doing so. I want to thank you not just for trusting in the promises of God, but I want to thank you for honoring the person of God. I want to thank you for honoring the person of God. You know, when you go through the Bible, you realize there were so many individuals who chose not to honor the Lord. Whether it was Eli, who honored his sons above the Lord, and the Lord took Eli's life and his sons' lives. Or Saul in 1 Samuel 15, who decided to honor the king, King Agag, and to honor the people because he feared them, rather than honor the God and be obedient to him. He lost his kingship. There are those of you in this church who have sought to honor the Lord above everything else. And that's important. Because the Bible says that we are to glorify the name of the Lord. Over in the book of Colossians chapter 3, verse number 17, Paul says these words, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. You come here to Christ Community Church because you want to honor the Lord. You want to honor his person. You don't come here to honor an individual. You don't come here to honor me. This is not Lance Community Church. It's Christ Community Church. There's a reason we have that name. It's a community of believers built around Christ. So when you come to the church, we want you to see Christ and see only him. We don't want you to see anybody else. Just, just the Christ. And throughout the ministry that we've had here over the years, people have proved themselves faithful to wanting to honor the Lord above everything else, to glorify his name. He who honors me, I will honor, 1 Samuel 2:30. It's a verse that I have tried to instill in the lives of my children. Make sure you honor the Lord, and he will honor you. Put him first. There are those of you who have, as Proverbs 3, verse 9 says, honor the Lord with the first fruits of your increase. And you have given faithfully to the church over all these years. And the only reason the church is able to continue on is because you have honored the Lord with the first fruits of your increase. You decided to put him on display. When you come here because you want to invest in the church and not consume from the church, then you are honoring the Lord. Early on when our church began, we had a lot of people come as looky-loos. But they were more consumers than investors. They would come to the church and see what was there, but because the church was early on in its infancy, we didn't have all the ministries that bigger churches had. And so they would come and say, well, you don't have a youth ministry, and you don't have a going, growing children's ministry, or you don't have this kind of ministry or that kind of ministry. We can go to a church that does. Yeah, but we would say, you know, why don't you stay with us and help us begin those ministries, start those ministries, invest in the people of the church, that you might be a part of something from the groundwork up. Most people didn't want to do that. That's too much work, see? But the people of Christ Community Church who started the church, that's what they wanted to do. They were invested. And so you are here today because there were those who were invested in the ministry of the church that it might grow and be the kind of church that God wants it to be because they wanted to honor the Lord above everything else. So I want to thank you for trusting in his promises and for honoring his person. I also want to thank you for acknowledging his providence. I want to thank you for acknowledging his providence. Think about this. Roger and Linda Flores came to our church when we were at New Hope Community Church. We were renting that facility in Glendora. And Roger and Linda came with their daughter Michelle and their son Daniel. And they were very young at the time. And they came to the church and they stayed at the church and Michelle and Daniel grew up in the church, went through children's ministry, went through youth ministry. And then when Michelle graduated from high school, she wanted to go off to college, but she didn't want to go to college here in the States. She wanted to go overseas. She wanted to go to Argentina. She wanted to go to Word Life Argentina. So that's where she went. And as she went there, she met Esteban. And next thing you know, they were engaged to get married. And they came back here to the States to get married. And when Esteban came to the States, he could speak very little English. In fact, when he got married, he could speak very little English to Michelle. But Michelle could speak Spanish, so no problem there, right? But over time, Esteban began to learn English, went off to the master's seminary, got his degree, and now he is the pastor in our Spanish ministry. That's all about God's providence. God bringing a family to our church, raising the children in the church, going off to college, finding a young man to marry, that man coming back to our church, being a part of the assembly, learning to speak English, get his degree, and now is an elder in our church and our Spanish pastor in our church. All that took place over a period of years, but as you look back, you can begin to see how God in his providence was working by bringing Roger and Linda to the church with their children, so that down the road, we could have a Spanish-speaking ministry in our assembly with a man who could lead that ministry. It's very important to realize that as a church, we begin to acknowledge the providence of God. I was talking to Eugene and Omega at our Filipino Bible study on Friday night because they'd asked me to speak. So I was there speaking. Now, I don't know if you know Omega and Eugene, but they were on vacation in the Philippines. And as they were on vacation in the Philippines, they went to church, and the church they went to is where Jed Asuncion is from. And she was moving back to the Philippines. She'd been a part of our church for a number of years. But she was moving back to the Philippines, and they met while they were on vacation, Omega and Eugene. And upon meeting them, they wanted to know where they could go to church. And of course, she recommended Christ Community Church. So in April, when they came back from vacation, they start coming to Christ Community Church, and they've been here every Sunday since April. Again, learning to acknowledge the providence of God, how he works through every situation, every circumstance, how he puts things together in just the right way, with just the right people, in just the right time. And I can give you countless numbers of stories. Stories that when we began this church, and we are at New Hope Community Church, and it was in the end of November, right after Thanksgiving, and they said to us, I think it was December of 1998, they said, you know what? You've been here long enough. You need to move out. So we're going to give you 2 weeks to move. Well, how do you move 400 people in 2 weeks? We had no place to go. We didn't know where we were going to go. You just couldn't go rent a facility to house 400 people. What will we do? So we began to pray, and so we would tell the church, listen, we have 2 weeks, and we have to move, and we don't know where we're going to go, but stay close to your phone, because you see, text messaging and emailing were not very popular in 1998. Cell phones were expensive. Very few people had them. So we said, stay close to your answering machine. Stay close to your telephone so we could call you and let you know where we're going to be. And so we just prayed and searched high and low until we found this church in West Covina on Cameron Avenue, First Baptist West Covina. I'm not even sure it's still there. I don't know what it is, but that we found that place, and then we began to do all we could to call people and tell them, this is where we're going to be in 2 weeks, because really it was a week, because another week passed, we still had no place to go. So it was between one Sunday and the next Sunday that we found First Baptist Church on Cameron. So we frantically tried to call as many people as we possibly could to tell them what we were doing. Because God was orchestrating things as he chose to in the lives of our church, but we had to trust him. We had to acknowledge that God was providentially working in all of our lives to bring us to the church he wants us to be. And so with all that came a whole group of people that were on their knees and praying and saying, God, you're in charge of this. You know what you're doing. We don't know where we're going next week, but you know where we're going. And we're just going to trust you to open the door and provide for us as only you can. And God did. And then he gave us this place as one of the men of our church was just driving by because he lived across the street, came by and knocked on the door and said, you know, we're looking for a facility that we can rent that's big enough to house our people. Would you allow us to rent your facility on Sunday mornings? And they said, no, but you can buy the facility because we're all moving to China. You see, there was a Chinese church here that had purchased it from Rao Reese, who knocked this place out. It was a Safeway at one time and built a church here, but Rao Reese sold it to a Chinese church. And they were sending people to China as missionaries, where there were just about 50 people left, but they were all moving to China. And they said, you can purchase the facility. And they threw in the piano to go with it. So we still had that same piano. So he purchased it. And God began to work providentially to bring us to where we needed to be. Why? Because God's in charge. And I just thank the Lord for each of you, because you've learned to acknowledge the providence of God, not just in our church life, but in your family life. That God is working, God is orchestrating the events, your family events, your work events, all things after his own purposes for his own glory. And as your pastor, I just want to thank you for acknowledging the providence of God. Psalm 37, verse number 23, psalmist says these words. Psalm 37, verse number 23. The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. The steps of a man are established by the Lord. The psalmist would go on to say in Psalm 31, verse number 15, these words, my times are in your hands. Psalmist knew, and we as a church have grown to understand that, that we might acknowledge the providence of Almighty God. It was Job who said in Job, Job 42, verse number 2, he says, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. He was right. Absolutely correct. God has a purpose and a plan. He just wants us to acknowledge that he is providentially in control of everything. So I thank you for trusting in his promises, honoring his person, acknowledging his providence. And fourthly, I want to thank you for never compromising the purity of God. And this is where I want to thank our elders for never compromising the purity of God. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 13, therefore prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. I want to thank our elders for never compromising the purity of God. Roger, Bruce, Esteban, Tom, we've had to make very difficult decisions over the years. We've had to discipline other elders over the years, staff members over the years. And we've lost people over the years simply because our elders would not compromise on the purity of God. They knew that early on, our Lord gave the instructions about confronting sin in the church in Matthew chapter 18 before the church was ever born. He gave the instruction on how to confront sin in the church. We knew in Acts chapter 5, when the church was just born, he had to deal with Ananias and Sapphira because he had lied to the Holy Spirit. They dropped dead in church. You can read about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 when Paul rebuked the Corinthian church because they would not discipline someone who was living in immorality. Read the book of Revelation. God says to the Revelation churches, listen, if you don't deal with this individual, I am coming down to you, and I'm going to deal with you if you don't deal with them. God's serious about purity in his church. And I thank the Lord that our elders have never compromised on the purity of God's holiness, and that we can trust that God's going to do a work in and through the leadership of our church. And I want to thank our elders for leading us in that direction, that we might understand what it means to live holy lives, because that's the standard that God's called us to. And therefore, we have had people in our church that have gone through discipline. Some of them have stayed. After they've gone through the discipline process, others have left because they couldn't handle the discipline process. But nonetheless, God has purged his church, and God has dealt with those who want to live in sin in the church. And I want to thank the church for never compromising on the purity of God. There have been times when we have brought someone before the church, and you as a church have gone after them as only you can, to plead with them to repent, to turn from their sin, to follow the Lord. And we never name the sin to you because that's not what we do. And you don't even know what the sin is half the time. But you go to that person and plead with them to repent that they might get right with the Lord and right with the church. And so therefore, I want to thank you for never compromising the purity of God. I want to thank you for your kindness toward the people of God. This is a very kind and loving church. If you're new to our church, you haven't experienced that yet, I want you to understand that this is a very kind and loving church. The Bible says in the book of Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9, these words: "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." The kindest thing you have ever done to anyone is to speak to them the truth in love. And I want to thank you as your pastor for the kindness that you show one to another. I could give you so many illustrations on how people have gone out of their way to help those in the assembly who have sacrificially given time, money, effort, energy to take care of someone who was in need. It's a beautiful sight to behold. But the kindness that you demonstrate to one another can't be thanked enough. And as your pastor, as I watch these things unfold before my very eyes, week after week after week, not just once a year, but all the time, they haven't happened in different pockets of groups of people at different times, but they do happen. And they're a sight to behold just because people have demonstrated the love of Christ to someone else in the church and demonstrated to them the kindness of the Lord. I want to thank you for your kindness to me as your pastor and to my family. I have so many friends in the pastorate that have nothing but horror stories to tell about their churches. I have no horror stories to tell after 30 years of ministry. Not one. There are no horror stories here at Christ Community Church. And so I feel bad talking to them about you because I say the people at Christ Community Church are so kind to me, so loving to me, so loving to my family, to my wife, to my children, to my grandchildren. I see it every week, all the time. So I want to thank you for your kindness to the people of God because you've demonstrated it week in and week out. I also want to thank you for your yearning to please God. Your yearning to please God. Because you live a life of faith, and without faith, it's impossible to please him. You give to one another, Hebrews 13, 15, and 16. And as you give to one another, you constantly are pleasing God. You're offering praise to God, and that pleases him based on Psalm 69. You preach the gospel, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and that pleases the Lord. We truly have an assembly of people who yearn to please the Lord, who want to put him on display. And I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you, Nick, for obeying the precepts of God. obeying the precepts of God. Listen to what it says over in 1 John, 1 John chapter 2. John says these words, "By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. And the one who says, 'I have come to know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked." In other words, at the bottom of your heart, you're not here because you want to rebel against the precepts of God, that you want to disobey what God says. 1 John 5 says his commands are not burdensome. You're here because you want to obey the precepts of God. You long to do what God says. And while we might not do what God says perfectly, we do what God says progressively. We want to live for the Lord. And as your pastor, I claim 3 John 4, there is no greater joy than to see my children walking in truth. And to see you walking in truth, living out truth, is the greatest joy a pastor can ever have, to watch people live in obedience to the Word of God. That is the greatest joy a pastor can ever experience. And I sit back and for 30 years I've watched. 30 years I've seen it happen. How people have grown in their walk with the Lord and want to obey the precepts of God. That's just great joy. So I want to thank you for trusting in his promises. I want to thank you for honoring his person. I want to thank you for acknowledging his providence, never compromising his purity, your kindness toward his people, your yearning to please him, your obedience to his precepts. And lastly, I want to thank you for uttering the plan of God. Couldn't think of another word for you, so I use the word uttering, which means to speak aloud, the plan of God. If you're following along, we spelled the word thank you out, so you understand what we're thankful for. Uttering the plan of God. Do you know that we've sent over 600 people on different mission trips over the last 30 years? And we visited several different countries, whether it be Mexico or Argentina or Uganda or the Philippines, Russia. God has been good to us. We've even had domestic trips in which we've sent people out because we want to speak forth the plan of God, the plan of redemption. That's the plan, right? That's why God has us here, to tell others about God's plan of redemption. As we embark on the holiday season with Thanksgiving and Christmas, it's all about the arrival of the Messiah, the incarnate God who came to bring salvation to his people. That's what we do. We utter the plan of God. His plan is that man might be saved and come to know him in a very personal kind of way. Whether it's our Spanish ministry, whether it's our radio ministry, which God has sustained all these years, for 29 years, we've had a radio ministry. It's sustained basically by the church, by you. Because the people who send money in, we never get enough money from those listening, but it's the church itself, Christ Community Church, that supports that ministry so we can reach others with the truth of the gospel. And we praise the Lord for that. Whether it's door-to-door or whether it's domestic trips or international trips, whether it's just talking to your neighbor about Christ, I want to thank you for uttering the plan of God. Why? Because as a church, Christ Community Church has sought to honor and glorify the name of Christ. Paul says in Ephesians 3, let there be glory in the church. In other words, let Christ be seen in the church. Let his glory be pervasive throughout the church so that others will see it or see him and glorify his name. As your pastor, I just want to thank you for your ministry, your service, your sacrifice, your desire to honor the Lord, your desire to obey his word, because Jeremiah preached for 40 years and nobody repented. Jeremiah preached for 40 years and nobody obeyed. He preached for 20 years and the people he preached to hated him and threw him in a pit. That's never happened to me, at least not yet. But the bottom line is that I'll come, I'll preach, and people obey. People follow, not because it's me, but because the Spirit of God has got a hold of your heart, and you want to serve him and follow him. That's just a great thing. So from the bottom of my heart, I just want to say thank you for these 30 years. They've been the greatest 30 years of my entire life. I could never thank the Lord enough. And if I ever lived another day from this day forward, I would have lived the fullest life I could ever have imagined this side of eternity. And I'm going to thank you for that. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for today and all the things that you do. I want to thank you for this congregation. There are so many illustrations, so many stories to tell. Time does not permit me to do so. But of people in this church who are deeply committed to the service of the King. Lord, we are grateful. I am thankful for what you've done. You've allowed me to be here for 30 years. And Lord, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying here until you take me home. That was my promise 30 years ago. It's my promise today. I love these people. I love this place. I love what you're doing in the lives of people. Is it a perfect place? No. Is it a perfect church? Absolutely not. Do we have perfect people? Lord, you know that's not true. But Lord, it's the perfect opportunity for me and for the people that are here, because you and your providence have brought us together. And you have done a great and mighty work. It's so easy to focus in on negative things here and negative things there that really, in the grand scheme of things, mean nothing. But to see what you have done by bringing people to the church, by stretching them spiritually, by growing them, by using them in the lives of others, what a great testimony. And I'm thankful, Lord, that you've allowed me to observe it, to watch it, to see it, because I am truly, truly a blessed man because of what you have done in the lives of your people. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.